This is The Mary Davis Show, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with interviews, news, special features, and the community calendar. Now, here is your host, Mary Davis.
Good morning and welcome. I'm your host, Mary Davis, and the show, of course, is The Mary Davis Show. We have an interesting lineup for you this morning. People who are involved in education, religious and educational and political activity. And I'm going to go around the table and let them introduce themselves. I will mention one. Jamal Bowman is with us, and he is on the live line from Brooklyn, New York. And he is principal of CASA Middle School, and that's in the Bronx. Sorry about saying Brooklyn, but that's in the Bronx, New York. And we'll start with you. We'll start with Kathy. Just need you to introduce yourself. Just tell us who you are.
Hey, everyone. My name's Kathy Chandler, and I'm working with the Buffalo We Decide Committee.
And what about you, Keith? Just introduce yourself.
Keith Jones, work with a lot of organizations.
And he's also a parent.
Oh, yes.
So notice you did your due diligence.
I'm a parent with a seventh grader.
And on our live line is Mr. Bowman. Mr. Bowman, tell us about yourself. And I tried to get you to send me something about the meeting that's going to be coming soon here. And I'll be talking to all of you in on the Saturday. So anyway, we want to find out just about who you are. Just tell us something about yourself.
Absolutely. So Jamal Bowman, founding principal of CASA Middle School. We're in the Bronx, New York. I'm in my seventh year there as a principal. Prior to that, I was an elementary school teacher in the South Bronx section of New York for 5 years. And then I became a dean of students at the High School for Arts and Technology for 3 years before going through my leadership training and opening up a school in 2009.
Well, this is great. That's quite a background. So this morning we're talking about, I think, the opt-out program. I tried to get some information from you folks, but I didn't receive any, so I'm kind of going to have to wing it a little bit on what you're doing. I'll be asking you more or less to explain the op program since I didn't get the information on it, so I don't know exactly what it is. I have to depend on you to tell me what it is. Mr. Bowman, why don't we go with you first? What is opt? What is opt out? And why are you opting out?
So opt out is a phrase used to describe New York State parents and actually parents all across the country who have decided to refuse to allow their children to take the standardized state exam. So in 2014, about 80,000 parents refused the state exam in New York State. And in 2015, that number jumped to 240,000. And one of the main reasons parents began to refuse is because in 2013, the Common Core standards came into play along with a new curriculum, new assessments, and teacher evaluations and principal evaluations are tied to those assessments. And this came without input from parents, without input from teachers, and it all came sort of as a perfect storm at the same time. Scores plummeted that year, and parents were frustrated because they didn't have a voice. There was a lack of support to prepare teachers to teach the new standards and new curriculum. And then there were pundits who were saying this is the wrong approach to education overall. So parents, you know, voted with their feet and started to opt out.
Okay, Kathy, you want to chime in on that or anything that Mr. Bowman may have left out you want to add in? And why are you interested in this?
I think education is one of the most important issues facing society today, and particularly in Buffalo. It's our public schools are under attack, and the state is taking a number of them over using these test scores. And the test scores themselves are unfair and basically invalid, not only because the tests are unfair. Many times the questions given to the children are one or two grades above their grade. It includes content that hasn't been taught in the class. And it's the way they score it is designed for you to fail. So the state grades all of them and then decides the cutoff.
Or then telling that you're not smart enough to pass these tests, and the test is skewered.
So they made sure 70% failed by where they put the cutoff, and it's unfair, and that's another reason many parents are refusing these tests.
What about you, Mr. Jones? What about you?
Well, just to piggyback on everything that was said. The most crucial thing about the with me about opting out is by when they implemented the Common Core curriculum, they implemented a program where they didn't even train the teachers on how to teach Common Core, and now
teachers who were supposed to give these didn't know themselves what it was.
No, you still have teachers to this day is not trained into core. They winging it. They going it by there. Then there's no Common Core textbook. Mm-hmm. They giving our children, when you look at 3rd, 4th, 5th graders, you just want to see something colored, you know, like a book or something where there's colors or something in it to draw their attention to it. They giving them photocopies of pages of books that's, I don't know where it's coming from. And they're not, and like I have a saying, you can't go nowhere if you don't know where you come from. There's no history or nothing with Common Core. It's just math that's not math.
Mr. Bowman, where do you come down on this? Of what you've heard so
far?
Well,
I think you... Well, yeah, so the argument that was made was, you know, we need higher standards. We need, you know, we need to increase the standards so that students can be college and career ready. The problem with that is we had standards in place before, and students were struggling to meet those standards. So as opposed to providing the proper professional development and curriculum to the teachers from pre-K through 12 to help students to reach the original standards, we raised the standards, and what happened is we left children further behind. So there was an achievement gap in 2012 of about 15, 20 points. It was actually beginning to close for the first time in a couple of decades. But then what happened was when the Common Core curriculum came along, the achievement gap grew back to about 30 points. So, you know, I advocate something called whole child education reform. And what that means is we look at the social, emotional, and cognitive intelligence of the students, where students learn about their history, their culture, the arts are heavily embedded in the curriculum. And we know research tells us that that is what drives students' achievement, because students find their passion and their purpose in education, and they love learning. We've gone totally away from that, and we're doing the same thing, doubling down on testing. And what we're doing is we're seeing a larger percentage of our students falling further and further behind.
Well, Kathy, are you and Keith aware of this program Mr. Bowman is talking about? And I assume that you agree with it.
Oh, yes.
Well, and particularly, people may not know, in Buffalo, 100% of the people in the music programs graduated. And, you know, graduation rates are a big issue here.
And I think that's what they got after Superintendent Brown about, and she was pretty, on her rates, from what I can understand, were really good.
They did increase some under Superintendent Brown, but it, in general, there's a problem on that score. And but instead of providing for music, art, as he was explaining, social studies, you know, a broader curriculum, Common Core narrows the curriculum, and more time is being spent for English and math. And these others are being cut. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, the government pays $35 million to a private company, Pearson, for these tests. That money could go much better into the classroom and for the music and these sorts of things.
That's right. I don't want to mention how long ago it was, but when I was going to school, that was what I learned. I had social studies, I had music, I had art, and all these different things were there.
That was like when I was, I was talking to some people the other day, and when we was in school, it was called Buffalo. It was called, Buffalo Public Schools testing. Mm-hmm. And you had Regents tests and everything. And you would have review books that you would bring home in May. Mm-hmm. And for my generation, we got lawyers, doctors. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of heart surgeons, a couple of judges that I went to school with. Mm-hmm. So why can't we go back to teaching the children the way we used to teach children? Instead of thinking about
all
your
around,
pockets.
This
just Common Core and all this standardized tests and everything is just a big money grab. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about our children. They're thinking about their pockets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's time for that. Education is not a business. Mm-hmm. They want to think everything is a business. It's not a business. You're hurting our children.
I like that statement. What about you, Mr. Bowman? You agree with what you've heard so far?
In terms of what Keith just mentioned, what's happening is, you know, the state has continuously underfunded our schools. Uh-huh. According to the Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit, the state owes, and that was settled, by the way, 10 years ago, the state owes public schools still to this day about $4.9 billion statewide.
Oh, my God.
So they're starving our schools of resources, then holding them accountable to state exams that parents and teachers didn't have a voice in creating. If students don't meet the standard of those exams, the schools are closed down, and then hedge fund charter school managers come in and take over the school and begin to take over the communities. Because of the new market tax credit, if you invest in a charter school, you get a 39% tax break kickback from the federal government, which means you double your money in a 7-year period. Mm-hmm. So it's become a business investment for many on Wall Street.
Well, we've got one shark in the waters here in Buffalo. His name is Mr. Palladino, who's really going after this type of thing.
just...
Correct. And they're selling you test scores. But as it was mentioned before, we're looking at learning and intelligence through a very narrow point of view, right? If you do well on a singular measure, that means your school is doing well. We're ignoring the whole child. We're ignoring holistic development. If you really want better test scores, invest in early childhood programs from birth to age five, support families and children at that level so the language gap doesn't occur, and now they're ready for kindergarten, and they'll do well on the test. But we're not invested in early childhood. We're invested in third grade through eighth grade exams. It's backwards. We're taking a backward approach, and that's because people don't really care about children. They care about money.
Well, somebody needs to give this lesson to Mr. Palladino, who I think has never heard it before.
Actually, we have nice been giving him that lesson at the school board, myself and others.
When he wasn't trying to throw you
they tried that. That's not going to work. But I will be speaking tonight. Get your popcorn ready, Buffalo.
Well, we certainly hope so that it's going to be heard.
Let me add that there are currently two schools in Buffalo, West Turtle and Futures Elementary Schools. Mm-hmm. They were put on receivership last year and only given 1 year. And so they both are subject to this takeover that Mr. Bowman was speaking about by charter schools or, you know, whoever the commissioner gets
to
decide.
By Mr. Palladino and henchmen, and I won't name quite a few of them.
Could be. I'd also like to mention that the standards that they're talking about, you can't really call them standards because a standard is normally a measure that's the same for everybody, you know, like a yard. We all know what a yard is. And a football field is, say, 100 yards. These tests are actually designed so people, for example, who are English language learners, They're trying to make a goal on a field that's 200 yards long for them. It's much harder for them. And other students who have smaller classes and other resources, then it's a, you know, it's like a 60 or 70 yard. It's not football field. It's not equal. The standards aren't equal.
You're going to be speaking Saturday, so I'm assuming that you've probably heard of Mr. Palladino.
Yes, I have. I don't know much about him personally, but I know a little bit about his policies, and it seems that, you know, he's interested in maintaining the status quo.
Well, he's not only the status quo, he's interested in kind of running it back a few times. I don't think that anyone ever told Mr. Palladino that slavery ended in the United States in 1865.
Oh, he knows.
And I think he's sort of still back there. So, and I think that's where his mentality still is. And my thought is, I can't help where his mentality is, but that's not where my mentality is.
Well, that's a great point. If you're familiar with social Darwinism, and if you're familiar with the eugenics movement, intelligence tests were used to maintain and sustain an elite class in our society.
That's so true.
If you couldn't meet the standards of the intelligence test that was created by eugenicists, that you were considered below average, and you were considered to be of a lower social class.
The same thing that the Nazis did to the Jews, too, during the Second World War and in the Nazi period. They tried that, too, and it was sort of like a direct copy of what was going on in the United States at an earlier time.
Exactly, right? So when you do, so Pearson has been the creator of the test for the last 5 years, and they created this year's test. If you do some research into who Carl Pearson was, In the mid-1800s, he was a eugenicist, right? Mm-hmm. And he studied under Sir Francis Galton, also a eugenicist. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to maintain the bell curve, and it's a test that facilitates inequality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't facilitate the real uniting of all the people in this country toward the ideals of our Constitution, which is what we're fighting for with whole child education.
Now I know where Mr. Palladino got his education from.
Yeah. Also, let me add that connected with that, part of the role the Common Core plays, not only is it denying people their right to education and unfair to the children, it's also a question of governance, of who gets to decide where our public schools are going and who they should be serving. So using the Common Core tests, you have a situation in Buffalo and statewide of receivership where the state's coming in, the commissioner alone gets to decide. She can close a school, keep it open, put it on the list, take it off the list, and it's almost entirely based on these test scores.
Are you sure this isn't Flint, Michigan? There's something about
exactly.
These types of...
Selma, Alabama.
No, Flint, Michigan is exactly the same. They had a financial manager, it's called there. Here it's called a receiver. But basically the state comes in and interferes, removes public control, including the role of the school board. And we need the opposite. Democracy today means the parents and teachers and students should be the ones deciding. It should be broadened. It should include people, not exclude them.
Okay, Mr. Jones, what about you? We're going to get you in here.
Well, you mentioned...
We're going to lock the door in case you're afraid somebody might come in here and give you a punch.
No, I'm not afraid of him. It's just that, you know...
We're here to take care of him.
me and that man you mentioned, we have a long-standing feud. You know, he picked...
At the school board meetings,
yeah,
you really do.
He picked the right one to mess with. I'm not afraid of him. Quinn, Pierce, Sampson. Mm-hmm. McCarthy.
They're all on the board.
I mentioned it. I'm not afraid of none of them. They picked the right one. You want to call me a thug? You don't know me. Mm-hmm. I'm just a concerned parent. But getting back to what's then, because their whole mission is to try to, just turn everything into a charter school. When people realize, I'm not against charter schools. I always make that point. Only thing I have against charter schools is that every February, mm-hmm. when they trying to make sure that they looking good, the students are struggling, they throw them out of the public school.
Send them back to the public school. But they never send
the money back with them.
I think the state is responsible for educating
its
citizens.
Exactly.
Not for-profit schools. Like, I don't believe in prisons for profit. I think this is trouble. These are state jobs.
Yeah, but federal jobs. They taking the parents all the way out the picture.
What about you, Mr. Bowman? How are you on this at all?
Correct, and that's what's happened. The state hasn't shown a trust in empowering educators and people on the ground who work with children every day to meet the needs of children. So they felt the need to step in, and in stepping in, we would like the state support with our taxpayer money, properly allocating that toward what's going on the school premises. But they've overstepped their bounds, in my opinion. With the overemphasis on standardized tests.
Well, what else can parents do to get in this fight? What else? I know parents are organizing.
Sorry, I got to run. I'm sorry, everybody. I got to run.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I got to run, but I'll talk to you all soon. And Saturday, Keith, please promote Saturday. Thank you.
Don't worry about it, my brother. You're overworking me now.
We'll continue. We just lost Mr. Bowen. We'll continue on with what we're going on. I'm kind of like, this part bothers me that they... that these charter schools will take in kids for money, and then if they don't like, the public schools have to take every child.
Everyone.
There's no such thing as not being able to go to a public school. The public schools cannot say, nope, you can't come, we got to throw you out. They have to come there. And I think it's terrible to do that to public schools. And another thing, I don't think the charter schools do all that much. I know that... Mr. Jones, you said you didn't mind charter schools. I am not that big of a fan of charter schools. Well, I was graduated out of public school, I read and write pretty well.
There's definitely facts as far as that goes. Generally speaking, the charter schools don't perform any better than
they
the
don't.
Public
it's
schools.
That's the same
so
thing.
What's happening there is that public dollars are going to serve private interests.
Private interests and people interested
in
money.
The testing is very similar. Public dollars are going to a private company, Pearson, and next year it's a different one, but it's still a private company. They own the test, by the way. The children and the teachers do not get the test back. They don't get to find out what they did wrong or right on the test. They just get a number. Our children are being reduced to numbers, a one, a two, or three, or a four, with one being the lowest.
And
our children aren't numbers. They're not a test score. They're human beings.
And they'll put that number on their child.
That's right.
That probably was with them all through school, the whole year.
But just to piggyback on something about charter schools, that's very interesting. I found out yesterday, excuse me, there were five schools that's in the STEM program. And my daughter's school, School 53, was honorable mention. And 74 had one, and it's MST and everything. But anyway, there's something like, I think it's, might be $135 million or something like that money that's coming in for the STEM program. None of this money is going to the five Buffalo public schools that was in the program last year to bring it off the ground to Buffalo. You know where this money is going? Slated to go to charter schools. Why would you send that money to the charter schools? But these children done already showed y'all what they can do. Where everything they had to do was thought up on their own. The teachers didn't teach this, and then these kids came up with experiments that NASA is interested in, And like I'm saying, when I say honorable mention, the school's honorable mention for that project that they worked on to go up to the space station.
I think it's not what you know. That's an old saying, yeah, not what you know, but who you know.
Why you want to get that? But why you want to get that money to the charter schools? But these schools did that.
If it
wasn't,
you know.
If it wasn't systematic, know what it is. They want these schools to fail.
Well, that's what I'm, that.
And
that's
it's not.
It is.
And it's not going to happen on my watch. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let them do that.
I didn't get. Mr. Bowman had to leave us before. What I wanted to ask him is, what else can parents and teachers do to fight back? There's got to be a way of fighting. I know you're organizing, so that's a good way of fighting back. Well, but what else?
Actually, the parents and the students can refuse. Not right now. We're talking about the state test that comes up.
Is this
in
the
April.
Opt-out thing?
Yes. Yes.
A lot of
they
lot
can.
Of kids
you can expand. You can expand the opt-out to include what are called the pre-tests, the post-test. SLOs, student learning objectives, mm-hmm. all of these things take a lot of teacher time mm-hmm. and administrative paperwork. Like many of our reading teachers, instead of being in the classroom, they are being put in administration so they can fill out all this paperwork that's related to the testing because it's all mm-hmm. what they call data-driven. Mm-hmm. What we say, you know, data doesn't drive. It's not what, you know, mm-hmm. it's not what we need at all. And we need our teachers in the classroom. We need smaller class sizes. Mm-hmm. So parents can encourage their students and say that they are going to refuse all of that because it takes place all through the year and it's mm-hmm. a huge waste of time. And then they can also join in fighting for the curriculum that we want. The curriculum, the Common Core curriculum is not what's necessary for our children. It does, mm-hmm. it's not going to modernize education. It's not going to provide them. So it excludes, for example, mm-hmm. Black history and mm-hmm. you know, the histories of the peoples. And mm-hmm. we now have, I forget, is it 60-some languages? We have large numbers of refugees and coming
I
in.
I think
and
it was
they have a difficult time,
Dr.
too.
Dr. Nevergall and someone else mentioned that there in one public school, there's something like 7, 8, 9, 10 different languages.
No, Lafayette has some up to close to 15 to 20 different languages.
40. Yeah. It's 40.
Oh, it's 40, Jesus yeah. Christ.
And these kids are trying to, and they want kids to take tests
and they can't,
in English.
In English.
That's not, English is
and
not their first
language.
Some
of them is, some of them has just got here. Like the other day, we get a student, what is that, what we are not going in April now from a charter school, mm-hmm. first grade, but that put this teacher on 32 kids. And I'm looking at it like, I know it's systematic.
One teacher is having
yeah, first grade. But listen, this first grade teacher is one of the best teachers I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. This lady is exceptional.
But still, 32 kids is a lot.
It's a lot. But also, getting back to piggyback on what the parents can do. Mm-hmm. Parents, you have to come and get involved. You have to be visible in these schools mm-hmm. to let these teachers, you know, because it's not just that. The teachers need support mm-hmm. because they're under the gun also. The principals is under the gun. Parents, you got to come and get involved in your children's education.
How is that word? How are you encouraging parents? Are you getting any results? Are parents getting more interested as more of the core curriculum comes out and opt-out comes out? Are more and more parents becoming interested?
Once they get educated. Mm-hmm. See, you have parent organizations that's not informing the
you
parents on the right things. Excuse me?
Are you talking about Mr. Rodman's group?
You mean Radford?
Radford's group, yeah, Mr. Radford. I'm always pronouncing that man's
name.
They think I do it on purpose, but honestly, I just forget. Radford.
Since you brought the man's name up, and I'm not one to bite my tongue, mm-hmm. you can't represent all parents if you're working for Common Core.
So are you saying Mr. Radford works for Common Core?
Yes, he has a position for Common Core.
And is the same woman he's married to is also a principal of a charter school?
I don't know. I know his sister is getting ready to try to run for to be on the school board.
Like with what, 50 other people?
Yes, since most of them is aligned with the majority. Mm-hmm. Out of the 50, I say 47 are aligned with the mm-hmm. majority. But that's neither here nor there. But the parents have to be... has to realize that you can't just go they should want to get involved when their child come home. We can't even help them with their homework because we don't know what they're teaching them. And mm-hmm. the teachers don't know what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. There was some data the other day, and I'm a retired construction worker. There was some data put out, and I couldn't believe it. It was in the Buffalo Evening News. This one thing that they wasn't biased on was that you got students that can't get into the construction industry because they're not taught how to read a ruler. Reading a ruler is one of the most important things you can to do work in construction. You can't be mm-hmm. a carpenter if you don't know how to measure. Mm-hmm. You can't lay pipe if you don't know how to measure, because you got to set up the laser, but you got to set up the laser by using a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
So how is this Common Core math?
Isn't it come out? I was going to say, isn't that math?
Yeah, but they're not learning math, because with the Common Core, 2 plus 2, I can say 2 plus 2 equals 8,
mm-hmm.
which all of us know is 4. But if I can explain to you how I got to that 8, that's a correct answer. You think I want you working in my bank or somewhere like that,
mm-hmm.
and you can't count?
Mm-hmm.
But under this system, it all depends. Like, if enough people get 8 and explain how they got 8, okay, we'll mark that as the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
But if only 2 of you get the right answer, 4, but 15 of you get 8, okay, we're going to say 8 is the right number. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But you teaching them this way. It's
so
not,
this is the base of Common Core?
Yes.
Yeah. The Common Core math is definitely skewed. You talk to the math teachers who are trying to deal with it, even
Kathy,
at the high
are you
school
a teacher?
Level. No, I'm not. But I have looked at the tests, and I've talked to a lot of the teachers about it. And I also talk and work with the students as well as the parents. And I would say generally – my experience this year is more parents are getting involved and are very concerned about the testing because they experienced it from last year. And
is that because of the work of your organizations?
It's some of our work. It's various other work. It's also the parents looking into it. And it's the children themselves coming home saying, I hate school because they're being forced into taking these tests and they're not being allowed to learn.
Really.
And then it affects them behaviorally, too, because, I mean, I walk in the buildings. My daughter's building. I go through a lot of other school buildings if a parent tell me to.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the frustration in the kids' faces about, you know what I mean? It's supposed to be a math class, and you'll hear outbursts. And you think it's a fight. It's a kid. It's one of our children so frustrated that they can't understand what's being taught to them. And then the teachers, they getting frustrated because they teach them, but they can't really explain nothing. And then, if a parent come to them, well, what can I do to help with my child's homework, and it's Greek to everybody. So,
are you facing the same thing, Kathy, too?
Well, everyone who has to deal with the Common Core and the Common Core testing, and even if they might change the name, the state is talking about making some changes. It's possible they'll change the name, but what's at issue here is that it's not designed to educate. It's not designed to help people learn or to help teachers teach.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for you to do what you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it is. You know, you have to take this test even though you think it's a lousy test. Students, you have to do this test even though you think it's an unfair test. All down the line, everybody's being forced to do something they know is wrong. And lots of teachers want to quit, too. And the children literally don't want to go to school. And these are children who usually, if you put the test aside, like school. Want to learn? Or, you know, what child doesn't want to learn? Really, that's just your instinct when you're at that age.
And I don't know
these tests
child
are killing it.
I don't know no child that don't want to learn. But all this is saying, if people just want to go back in history, this is a history lesson. It's slavery all over. They did told slaves they didn't want them to read and write. Same thing going on right now with our children. You don't want them to succeed. You don't want our children to read. You want them to write, but you don't want them to be able to count.
I want to ask you folks to reintroduce yourselves again so that our listeners out there know who you are and who they're listening to. Why don't you go first, Kathy?
Hi, I'm Kathy Chandler. I work with the Buffalo We Decide Committee and other organizations, and I'm very active on the issues of education and the right to education, the equal right to education, I think is one of the most important things we have to deal with.
Keith, what about you?
I'm Keith Jones. I'm a parent. I belong to a few organizations. One, our name is Buffalo Parent Teachers Organization, BPTO, and I'm a parent investor at School 53. And I suggest all parents, it's just a title or something, but when they see it, I'm investing in my child's education.
This is one thing I want to ask, because there's this other organization which seems to get a lot more publicity than you folks do. And I know that Mr. Radford, got his name wrong, so he can't say that I mispronounced his name on purpose. What I can't understand is, instead of working at odd ends, and I don't believe that the people in your organization or you're connected with are, but what would be the reason for the other parent or teacher group to be at odds with you? I have been... or I've observed one meeting or so, and I didn't see hardly anybody there. And most people there were kind of like grandparent or great-grandparent age. And I'm just wondering,
Well, we
about this.
Keith and I both go to DPCC meetings. Mm-hmm. I've been going fairly regularly, and so turnout varies. Sometimes it's a sizable grouping, and sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't equate what Mr. Radford says publicly mm-hmm. with what the whole group believes mm-hmm. or thinks. For example, last year we actually had someone speaking out about the testing and mm-hmm. Opting out, and most of the parents there were in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
question of doesn't necessarily go along with what the body is talking about.
That's my experience.
I'm a parent facilitator mm-hmm. also for DPCC, but mm-hmm. I say I'm a parent investor because I'm invested more than the children.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way you can get to the children is through to the parents is through the children.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing about it. I belong to everything. There's a saying: you want to get there fast, you run and be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make progress, you go slow with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be there. Can't be no one thing or entity trying to say that you this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. We all got to come together on this because this is a struggle. But you also can't have people that has a conflict of interest
mm-hmm.
in something. If you don't agree, if you have a conflict of interest with certain things and you run in a group, you should move aside, let the majority do what they want to do. They're not your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who that is. That's from the mayor to the board members to the superintendent,
mm-hmm.
to principals in schools, to your councilmen, mm-hmm. to your ministers, anything. If your congregation is not going along, you a pastor, not going along with what you're doing, a smart pastor is going to step back and say, whoa,
mm-hmm.
let's do this together because my way is not working.
Well, who elected the leadership? Now, Mr. Radford has been there for some time. How does that work? I mean, how long is the presidency last?
Two years,
4 years, 6 years?
You have you have an election.
Mm-hmm.
It might be 25, 30 people
mm-hmm.
that will vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't nobody really. I like me. I wouldn't want the position of trying to speak for every parent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's putting you under the gun because you can't speak for every parent.
Mm-hmm.
But the elections is held that way. You know, it might be just say like now we got a DPCC, we have a meeting Tuesday. It might just come up, okay, we're going to have elections. Everybody put their name on the ballot. You write down who you want to vote for. During that meeting, they go count the votes, come back. That's who's who.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? It's not nothing.
It's generally a the DPC elections. I've been to two of them.
It's democratic process.
You nominate people.
You nominate and you mm-hmm. go through it. But
in this situation, there's nobody running against Mr. Radford. So that's also an issue.
How big is your board?
For which?
For which one? BBTO? Well, we're on executive.
No, I'm talking about with DPC.
Oh, DPCC. You have one, two.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Three, four. I'm trying to count them all.
I mean, there's like 10 members
yeah,
or 15
like
members?
No, it's not that many. You got
the president, two vice presidents,
sergeant at arms.
Sergeant at arms,
and that's
parliamentarian,
about it.
I think.
Yeah.
Number
six,
like
seven
that.
On the
six,
board.
Seven. Right,
and then you have parent facilitators like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have, lately, the biggest one I think was there, I think we might have had about maybe 22 schools represented.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes the whole entire, and the parent facilitators, like you get the vote on whatever comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that where they're not really the board, you got the executive board them. So really you can say it's a total maybe at times, maybe it can be up close to 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
But normally the 40 people don't make the decision because I just hate to say it, but a lot of parent facilitators just go along with what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You got to be able to voice your opinion. Don't be ashamed to voice your opinion.
Well, how do you guys educate parents?
You got to do it one-on-one.
I know there's more teachers along in the other
BBTO,
group.
BBTO, yeah.
There's I think different ways in which that's happening. So, for example, we had ads and articles in the Challenger and the mm-hmm. Criterion. Mm-hmm. We've had several public meetings over the past year or two, including one we just had on March 12th at mm-hmm. Buff State that
and
brought
they
together
the Zoo Night.
and various other activities. We produce materials, pass resolutions and promote them, go into the schools, like I volunteer at various schools and try and also do that, involve people in organized efforts like the Buffalo We Decide Committee. So there's quite a variety. Do radio shows. I think this is like the third or fourth radio show we've done to try to reach out to the community, talk to the pastors as well. This time we've done a lot of outreach to pastors to inform them what's happening with these tests and why they're harmful to the children and why they should join.
School board meetings. I will say what I need to say, you know, if it's need be.
You're not ready to get thrown out.
Well, I mean,
that was
a disgrace, really. Was there a move put forward by Mr. Paladino?
No, it was
to make
Mr.
Sure.
Sampson who did that.
That was Sampson. But he reached
out. People to be able to speak at meetings?
No, McCarthy came up with that argument one night. And, excuse me, that was when I was considered a thug parent and I'm a union plant. And because, if you don't go along with them,
you're not a real parent.
I'm not a real parent, but, you know.
What's not a real parent?
I guess one that's
I'm just wondering about this.
If you're worried about your children and how the majority is doing what they want to do, and you stand up and have a voice against them, you're not a real parent.
This is amazing to me. Who is a real parent?
They're not sitting on the school board.
And it's one of the reasons that I think it's important to come and speak out at the school board meetings, because now they're even taking it further. They're talking about limiting the meetings to one a month. Right now we get two a month where we can speak. They want to take it down to one.
And they want to limit your speakers.
So I think it's an important fight. We will be at the school board meeting tonight, and I also want to encourage everyone listening to come to the event on Saturday, April 2nd at 11 o'clock at the Meriwether Library.
Well, that is the day that the show will air.
Yeah, and to join the discussion, get informed, find out. Mr. Bowman is a very experienced and knowledgeable speaker, and there will be other people there in the audience who also bring expertise to it. And it's an opportunity for parents, pastors, students also to come on out and learn about the testing.
Exactly, because I've been getting some feedback from a couple of politicians that a few pastors, but the main thing I want to do.
Politicians that are interested? I'm interested in that.
Well, one that reached out to me personally was Tim Hogue.
Okay.
And we and him had
Hogue is not in the county any longer.
He reached out to me on a Sunday after I left some literature over at Elam. And me and him was on the phone for about 20 minutes. And he was concerned. He said, oh, definitely I will be there. Politicians, I wanted to really reach out to them, but I know this is an election year, and you might not be sincere. It might just be a photo op. No disrespect to them. That's how they get elected and everything. But this is a serious problem. Well, I really want their parents.
Maybe you get some of them out. They might bring some of the people who are supporting them. That's the only reason.
Well, I reached out to, like I said, word is out. We get the venue. See, we have a venue that wouldn't hold but so many people anyway. But this is just for the right now for the opt out. Trust me, we will be organizing bigger events dealing with education, because not only do we want to opt out, we want to do something about this Common Core. It's not just in New York State. I got family in Tennessee. They against it. Arkansas, all over the country. Only people places I notice where they're not really against Common Core is like Los Angeles, Houston, because they have a high charter school. A population.
The public schools are in Los Angeles. I can't speak to Houston, but the students especially are active in Los Angeles. And I would also say part of what's happening nationwide is that these Common Core tests are being required for graduation, and that's going to start happening in New York State as well. It hasn't yet.
These Common Core, I think you mentioned earlier, don't include such subjects. I would think would be It should be routinely taught in public school. Math, science, perhaps.
Right now it's just English and math.
English and math.
In New Jersey, for example, they had a big opt-out as well. It's about 40,000. those students are being told if they want to graduate, so they opted out of the test, and then they're told they're not going to be allowed to graduate. Mm-hmm. If they want to graduate, they have to go and take the military's test.
And that's blackmail.
Right, and it's going to be used by the military to recruit people. And so mm-hmm. it's really another mechanism by which mm-hmm. students are being denied their right to education, and education is being undermined in favor of, in this case, the military. In other cases, it's the prisons, as you were mentioning before, mm-hmm. because what happens when the children are think of themselves as failures? Mm-hmm. They end up leaving school.
The prison pipeline mm-hmm. is right back open.
Mm-hmm. And then forced out.
And then, like, one thing about Common Core, with all the diseases and stuff going on around in the world, but you're not teaching science. How are you going to have somebody go into the medical field if they know nothing about science? Mm-hmm. They might have science half hour this week, 40 minutes the next week, because the teachers have to compensate so bad, like even with the science teachers. Mm-hmm. They're so worried about the evaluations with this Common Core, with that the only thing they're thinking about, ELA and math. Because that's what they evaluating these teachers on.
Oh my God.
And that's not right. I mean, then the English and the math teachers are not teaching English and math, they teaching to this test.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So you can't say that you trying to keep up your education. For education and everything, they putting a war on education because they want to dumb our children down. Why, I do not know. The country is not going to benefit from you know, you're
being
not
dumbed down.
No, if you're dumbing them down.
It is going to be a problem, but the reason is that they can no longer provide sufficient jobs and a livelihood to everyone. And so there's a definite effort in terms of the role of education to actually lower it. The Common Core is serving to lower the quality of education, not raise it. They say they're raising it, but it's lowering it.
From what I've heard, some people, some commentators have mentioned on different television talk shows and things I've heard, that what's going on is I would say maybe 20 years ago, that long ago, 20 years, 25 years ago, a high school diploma was the opening door. You know, you go out and get a job, all kinds of different places.
Whoa.
Now, even you can forget a high school diploma, and you can also forget about a 2-year diploma.
Yeah, associate's
even a master's, and we have a lot of people here in Buffalo with
master's degree that's unemployed.
The majority of taxi drivers in New York City?
The bachelor's, you can, you know, that's the equivalent of what a high school diploma was 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
I can give you an example of Nashville, Tennessee, where I know there's two people that got doctorate degrees from Middle Tennessee State, and they're not working in their field.
In their field.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The majority
where they got that from, you know what I mean? And that's scary.
So in that situation, there's a need to have control mm-hmm. for the people in who have power here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a need to keep control because there's going to be resistance to a situation where there's not sufficient jobs and not an economy that's actually working to provide for everyone. And so there's a funnel for the prison, there's a funnel for the military, mm-hmm. especially for minority and poor students. And the Common Core is connected to that direction
mm-hmm.
and to that control, as I was mm-hmm. saying before. You're being forced to take a test you know is mm-hmm. unfair. The teachers all know these mm-hmm. tests are no
teachers
good.
Teachers don't even want to give these tests.
And they're being forced to give them anyway.
And evaluated on them.
And exactly. So then they can lose
their job because they're teaching something that they haven't been trained to teach. Mm-hmm. They're doing it on the fly. The students have no idea. And now they start in the first grade to teach this Common Core garbage.
Oh, God.
Even in kindergarten.
Kindergarten, they got Common Core standards. And I'm like, instead of you learning how to count, mm-hmm. you're learning this garbage.
Well, and back to the whole child that Mr. Bowman was, we've been talking about. Like if you look at kindergarten. Kindergarten, you need to be playing, you need to learn to socialize, those are the kinds of art, music, those are the kinds of things you need to be involved in. And instead, they're being forced to take these tests. So for example, right now, one of the tests that a kindergartner is supposed to be able to write two sentences that includes facts from something that the teacher read to them. And then the teacher is judged based on whether they can or can't do that. So a lot of kindergartners, you know, it's like, are you kidding? And as a result of having to do that kind of stuff, they're eliminating recess, they're eliminating play.
And then you put
the kindergarten rooms don't even have the play areas anymore.
And could you imagine the pressure you put in a 4 or 5 year old under to write a sentence on something that you just told them instead of, I would think the best test for somebody in kindergarten, come up with your own thought and write this down.
Maybe that would be the biggest.
Oh no, they want you to like something that the teacher done told them.
Some kindergartners aren't even writing yet. They've been holding the
pencil. You know, they don't even know how to hold a pencil.
But I would be thinking.
Or spell. I mean, all this here, and you know, then I mean, it's crazy. I don't know who brought up this Common Core. But it reminded me of, like they had to say, the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a war on drugs. It was a war on poor people.
That's right. That's what.
Now, right now, they're trying to put this as Common Core. Call it what it is. It's a war on education. Mm-hmm. You're not teaching people. I don't know why. And then the first thing they complain that overseas, the Chinese, Japanese, Indian people, everybody, even Africans coming over here taking the better jobs. Like your doctors and neurosurgeons and all that. Yeah, because they're educated for it. Mm-hmm. They're being taught this. I wouldn't want no mechanic to be operating on my brain.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, come on now. There's a saying, something in the milk is not white. There's something totally wrong here. You want people to be heart surgeons and stuff like this, but you're not. Excuse me. You're not teaching them nothing scientifically mm-hmm. or into the medical field. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And everybody can't play sports.
Well, has anybody really went out to try and see what they can do? I'm thinking about right now, my mind is sort of shifted to the school board. Mm-hmm. Has anybody, or is your organization at all trying to work with people to tell them that actually it's going to be against your goals to have all these people running? You know, because you know, it's going to be like the last school board election.
It reminds me of the last school board election. Mm-hmm. But it also shows that Carl Paladino, he said that he wanted to control the whole board.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gets rid of the four African American women who form a block that's there. I say this particularly ever since I think when President Obama ran, I think the first time around, and Carl Paladino sent out all those emails about him, the man to me has simply been a scumbag. And I don't mind who knows it or any of his allies, although may look like me, have nothing in common with me at all.
Oh, no. They're getting ready to hear something about me in the near future anyway, because he's coming. I told him something last year. You can't keep coming in the community and think you're going to get somebody of my skin color and we just going to automatically follow there with that. I said, they going to have problems with me or people that's like me because you coming in there, you buying people and you got a couple of them saying he's the best thing ever happened to us. Wow.
That was a culture shock.
I want to mention a couple of their names right now. So
please do be my guest.
Dwayne Kelly is one of them. Mm-hmm. That he's going around because he's running for he wants Dr. Kapsiak's seat. But
she's
retiring.
She's
yes.
Central District, yeah.
And
I can tell that if that's what you're up to, Mr. What's his name?
Then
what's his name?
Dwayne Kelly.
Mr. Kelly, then you're in my district because.
But then
I'm
also,
in central,
what if
and I can
mistake,
tell you right now, you would not be getting my vote.
Me too.
If
I'm
that's
in central
true.
Too.
Wasn't the other lady? What's her name? Elliot. I think she's going for that same seat.
Wait a minute. I know an Elliot.
Pam Elliot. She's aligned with Carl Paladino.
Then you gonna have a.
He's got it's a couple of other people. That's aligned with him.
Well, I'm giving you a microphone today to call him out.
Hey, I can't remember them all by name because I got something over the weekend that really upset me when I was going to church Sunday. And I was reading one of it on my way to church, and I walked through the doors cussing.
Uh-oh.
Because I couldn't
that
believe.
That was Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. I walked through the doors cussing because I said, this man will not leave nothing alone where you coming into our community. And you got these Negroes that's being bought off with you, being a puppet, but now you want to come into the community. And then the funny part, you're talking about you a parent, and you just, you
name?
So, You so involved. Well, I can't remember their names because I didn't think I was going to have this platform today, but Saturday I will have my notes there. But anyway, they, you know,
I'm inviting you to call them out.
You're saying you're a parent. I haven't seen y'all at one school board meeting saying anything that was protecting
our
children.
Well, I mean, a male can be a parent
I haven't seen them at one school board meeting. I haven't seen them at none of the press conferences I done been to. I done belonged to a lot of organizations. I haven't seen y'all at no meetings. But now all of a sudden you want to run for the school board, and you really think this is why I want all
Mr.
people.
Mr. Jones, think hard. I need some names here.
All people that's listening to this right now, if y'all don't get up and do y'all research and go and vote. Running?
What district is he trying to go in?
Oh, Carl Paladino has.
Well, he hasn't had any competition.
No, he don't.
He's running unopposed.
Actually, he does. He's a young running unopposed.
But he got people he's put into the Central.
All right, so who's in Central?
That's the Elliot and Dwayne Kelly.
All right, so Kelly and Elliot are in Central. That's where I am. I'll make sure.
I wish I had my phone. I got it all right there in my phone too. He got somebody in.
Call him out. I'm ready.
He got somebody in Tiggs District. I forget.
Yeah, I forget.
That's East District.
East District. Oh, that name.
That's Belton. Belton Cotton.
No, she's Ferry. He got somebody. Well, the
Tiggs
guy
is East District.
I met the guy. He tell me he has no, he's not aligned to Paladino, but I invited him to come to the function to Saturday.
But he says he's not aligned, but from the tone of your voice, I sort of suspect you believe he's lying.
Because I don't really know him. He pops up out of nowhere.
Well, I think it's also.
I'm coming out my brother's house. He asked me to sign a petition. He's running against Shannon. I'm like, well, who is you?
Mm-hmm.
Where you come from?
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts stuttering, and I'm like. Okay.
Get somebody else signed your petition.
It's also important, I think, you know, Paladino is one person, and he's definitely playing a role. But I think Mr. Sampson also plays a role, and he represents the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership, which are very wealthy here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And
Buffalo Evening News put a hand in it. They're not getting away from this.
And and we also have to pay attention to the fact that there's an effort to limit the role the school board itself can play through receivership, through the state takeover. So there's a whole grouping of schools, 20, that the school board has nothing to say about.
People that are led by Paladino are interested primarily in money.
That's all.
What bothers me a bit about Mr. Paladino is I can't understand why not only the state, but the city, really subsidize him because he owns all these buildings that they rent from.
There you go. You said
it. And it bothers me for that. And maybe it's because, and I have to admit it free, I'm a left winger. And people like Mr. Paladino bother me considerably. I don't think they were in the interest of working people at all because I'm also a very working class person.
Oh, he has non-union construction companies.
And this bothers me a lot because I really come out of a union household.
Right.
It really bothers me a lot.
I think that's legitimate. I think Mr. Sampson is the same, if not probably more powerful in that respect in terms of who he's connected with in the city.
Well, I know Mr. Paladino is planning a big fundraiser trying to bring in Mr. Trump.
I think that's his first cousin.
I think if that takes place, they'll probably be a welcoming crowd just like there was in Chicago of thousands who said, we don't accept this.
Well, I would love to be there, but I know as soon as I was seen by him, I wouldn't be fair. I'd be the one the Secret Service come after, so I will pass on that. I'll send you, Kathy.
it's interesting. Now,
I'll watch that one from a distance.
I think it's called Mr. Drump was Trump's ancestral name 2 or 3 generations ago. The Trumps changed their name from Drump to Rump to Trump.
He was on. I watched some of that.
John Oliver's show brought that out quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched some of that debate last night, and they asked him a question about foreign policy or something, and boy, he rambled on. And I'm looking up there, and I'm like, he still didn't answer this question.
No, he never does.
And they went to clapping and everything, and I was like.
Have supporters in there that people that support him.
No, but you know, money is the root of all evil. That's a true saying in all those songs I used to hear.
Which is why I think we also need to work on is the way in which people get elected. It's very difficult to run for office. It costs, millions, billions, depending on which office it is. And there's all kinds of rules and regulations, the number of signatures you have to do, and you have to do it in a certain period of time.
And then they want to challenge your signatures.
And if you're an independent, it's even more difficult. And we need to change that, and we need to change, you know, the ability of parents, teachers, and students to actually be in a decision-making role, whether it's for the schools or whether it's for our economy, as you were saying, in terms of what, you know, the working class is also under attack these days in terms of cuts to pensions, the level of unemployment, these sorts of questions. And we together, I think, can bring about that change. We have to get more organized than we are. And we have to fight for our role to be able to be to the decision makers, not the sideliners.
Well,
power
concedes nothing without struggle.
A fight, yeah.
You know, and you just, that just, people just have to understand that power concedes nothing without a struggle. You know, and this is just the way it is. One reason why I like Bernie Sanders a lot, I see him basically as maybe somebody who is fighting the establishment. And I kind of like Bernie Sanders for that.
He seems like your grandfather. I mean, it's just something
What's wrong with being a grandfather?
No, but I'm just saying.
You know, I'm a grandmother.
But not, I'm a grandfather, but I'm just saying, I never met him. But I'm just saying, you're so comfortable when you see Bernie Sanders.
I like Bernie. I like Bernie.
You know what I mean? And he got that face, you know, that you can.
Well,
he will be looking out for the regular people.
I think Bernie Sanders reminds me. I think, and normally women in my generation, I would say, would normally be supporting Hillary, but I'm not. I'm not supporting
Hillary.
Well,
I wouldn't care who's running for the Democratic Party that got me. I only have one thing against Bernie Sanders, and I shouldn't. The man got too many of the same color blue shirts.
my only thing,
get into blue shirts.
I'm into them.
Get into blue shirts.
I've been watching Bernie Sanders for the past 90 days, and I'm like, is he changing his shirts, or do this man have that many blue shirts? And he has a lot of blue shirts. I know we need a little comedy on this here radio program,
right.
But think about it. I've never seen a man with that many. Klein has, you know, that was one of our stories here that, well, you would know that, where, you know, executive men, lawyers, all that, they didn't have that many blue shirts.
Well, you know,
that's what he likes, obviously.
I mean, but I didn't have said, now when he becomes.
Jones, get off of Bernie Sanders' shirts.
I'm just hoping that Bernie doesn't endorse
Clinton. One more point. Now, when he become president, is there something in the Constitution that say that he can't wear all them blue shirts?
He'll probably change.
Okay, I just want to know. I love you, Bernie.
and I hope he doesn't endorse Clinton, because that looks like the way it's headed.
Bernie's fighting for that thing. So I think he's shocking a lot of people. I mean, when he started out, he was only 3%.
Yeah. I wouldn't care if Snidely Whiplash was on the Democratic Party.
Oh, yes, you do care.
I do not care. I do not want to see Trump, Cruz, none of them Republicans.
Oh, no, those are terrible.
No, listen,
we only got about two minutes here, so I'm going to give you folks time to sum up here.
Right. Yeah. Let's remind everybody to please come out April 2nd. That's this Saturday, to the Meriwether Library. That's Jefferson and Utica. To the event, it's called Teaching to the State Test or Teaching the Whole Child.
I'm sure that we'll be out today. And today is the day, as far as we're concerned, is Saturday.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Jones?
Else? I want to let them know that if you don't get to the opt-out letters, you would have to, once your kid to opt out, you would just have to write a letter to the school saying, you know, what my student brought, Johnny this, grade such and such. Mm-hmm. And let them know that I want my child to opt out. And when you do, send a book to school with them so they'll have something to do.
One last time, we've got about a second. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Tell us who you are, Kathy.
Kathy Chandler with the Buffalo We Decide Committee. We're fighting for decision-making by parents, students, and teachers in the Buffalo Public Schools. They're our schools, it's our rights, and we should be deciding.
Decide. I'm Keith Jones, a parent. We're blown to a lot of initials with the organizations. My thing is, let's get that. Let's get out here, support this here, and fight for our children.
I'm your host, Mary Davis. Stay with the station throughout your day.
You've been listening to The Mary Davis Show. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Mary Davis, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.